Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hello, everybody. It is a great Thursday afternoon here in Montgomery County, Maryland. And you're probably going to tell as I do this show that I am on the move here at our friend's Enterprise Rental Truck in Gaithersburg, Maryland, where we are just picking up a 12-foot box truck to take out to a place that we've been working at this morning to go clean up a bunch of stuff and then put some stuff up for sale for these clients and get a bunch of stuff out of the house. So we're having some fun doing this. I've got some guys over there right now waiting for the truck to come. And I know that these guys at Enterprise are fabulous. They are terrific. You can rent a 12-foot box truck from these guys for about $90 a day and get a couple of hundred miles. And you throw in a little bit of their insurance coverage to make sure everything's okay, and you end up at about $130 a day to use a kick-butt Enterprise rental truck to do what you need to do. So I am here picking it up, very excited, and I've got to maneuver it a little bit, so just hang with me as we go, and we will talk about this. Today's topic, I'm so excited to do this. Today's topic is how to turn lemons into lemonade. And I'm going to tell you a few things about how we've done it and some of the things that have happened to us, but I'm also going to tell you about a five-year-old kid down in Atlanta, Georgia, that has her own lemonade stand that I went and visited last week as I stumbled across her while down on the what's called the Beltline in Atlanta, Georgia. And I have sent some information. I did not think at the time I was there, I did not think to say, hey, you guys should be on my radio show. But I thought about it afterwards. She has an Instagram page. If you're on Instagram, go look up Love's Lemonade. I believe that is actually her first name. She just graduated from kindergarten. This is an adorable five-year-old little African-American girl with her parents who has a lemonade stand out there on the Beltline in Atlanta, Georgia. The Beltline is a former railroad track, as I understand it, that has been paved over, and now they put all kinds of cool shopping, you know, facilities, stores, bars, restaurants, all that kind of stuff along the way. And everybody goes down there to take a walk, which I did recently and had a blast. So job number one, go to Instagram and look up Love's Lemonade, and you'll see this adorable five-year-old kid with her parents posted there. And that's just the beginning of the story. I'll tell you more about that as we come back to it, but I also want to tell you why I'm talking about lemonade. I have had, and I think a lot of people have this in their life, you get various challenges in your life. And you may not have been planning on them. In fact, you probably weren't planning on them. and you deal with it in whatever way you can deal with it. And sometimes your choice is pretty simple. Pull yourself up off the ground and move forward, or stay on the ground and die at some point. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is sometimes. And better to get up and move forward, right? So I have had situations in my life that have been pretty challenging, stuff I wasn't planning on, stuff I wasn't expecting. And I've got really good friends who look out for me and care about me and want me to succeed. And they would say, I would every once in a while check in with them, and I would say, you know, is there anything you think I should be doing different, or do you have any ideas for me, or whatever? And I guess what I was kind of looking for was a little bit of a pep talk or something. And one of my good buddies, a guy named Dave, who is such a good guy, he literally would remember me in his prayers every night for years, and was just kind of looking out for me in addition to all the other stuff that he was doing, you know, for himself and his family and everything else. So he sent me a text message one time after I had reached out to him and kind of asked for, you know, any advice that he might have, etc. And he was really kind with what he said. He said, far be it from me to tell a guy who has made kegs of lemonade out of his situation how to be successful. Now, how's that for nice? And he said, we should all be calling you instead. And when you have that kind of a friend, that's about as good as it gets ever for anybody. And that's what kind of a friend I have looking out for me. So we're talking about turning lemons into lemonade, and in honor of this five-year-old kid, Love is her real name, I believe. I believe her real first name is Love, and I'm dying to get this girl and her parents on my show in a future week to just talk about what she's doing. But we're talking about turning lemons into lemonade and how to do it, and if you have a story or know of someone who has done that as well, you're invited to call the show and share it with us. 888-627-6008. One more time, 888-627-6008. And tell us your story. We would love to hear it and broadcast it. So talking about this little girl, I was down there with a friend, and bear with me just a second. I'll put this on speakerphone as I've switched trucks here. Just a second. There, that should be working. We'll turn this so we can't be interrupted. Okay, here we go. I was down there with a friend. We went to, like I said, the Beltline down in Atlanta. We're walking down the Beltline, and I spot this little five-year-old girl out in the middle of the Beltline wearing a yellow graduation cap. And I went, well, that's kind of cool. I wonder what the, you know, story is there. And I realized when I saw some tables setting up on the right side of her and her parents there, I realized this was about to be a lemonade experience. And I'm so excited. And I kind of thought to myself, man, I wonder what lemonade's going for, you know, these days. And I was in for a surprise, but I'll tell you about that in a minute. So a friend and myself were walking down the Beltline. Here is this adorable five-year-old kid with her parents seated behind a table. And she said something. The little kid said something to me like, hi, would you like to buy some lemonade? And I, of course, said, sure. And she had a bowl of like quartered up lemons, freshly cut lemons sitting there. Her mom is there. Her dad's there. She's wearing these adorable glasses. They are red sunglasses, but the part around your eyes is in the shape of a heart. Well, of course, her name's Love. What else would you expect, right? And so she is there basically drawing traffic in is what she's doing. And she had just graduated from kindergarten like last week.
She's got a yellow cap on, and she's just adorable. And I mean, guy like me, yeah, you can suck me in with that marketing approach any day. I mean, I'm going to go for that one. And so I did, and I noticed not only the lemons that were sitting there, but there were a bunch of bottled flavors kind of sitting in this box on the table as well. And I realized they have different flavors of lemonade, right? This isn't just like lemonade. This is different flavors of lemonade, which I got kind of excited about. I thought that was cool. So I asked her a question that I thought she was going to say no to. I said, "Do you have blackberry lemonade?" And she said, "Of course." And she pulls out the little jar, the little squirter jar that has blackberry flavoring in it. And I said, "I want a blackberry lemonade." And I didn't ask how much it was. So her mom whips into action, fills up this cup, like a medium-sized cup that you'd get at a drive-in, a drive-through restaurant or something, and fills it up with ice and starts to crush some lemons inside of it, puts in a little shot of sugar water, I think is what it was, and then a couple of shots of the blackberry lemonade and shakes it up, puts a lid on it. Now, somewhere along the line, they assumed, or maybe it was just a mistake on my part, I don't know. I still haven't figured that out, but it doesn't matter. That I wanted two. And so I kind of went, so they started making me a second one. And I thought, no problem. I got my friend here. You know, she can have this one. So we get two cups, big cups, of ice cold blackberry lemonade. And we get on the table, I then notice, in cellophane are wrapped up a little batch of strawberry lemonade sugar cookies. And each of those cookies has Love's Lemonade sticker, her logo, on the front of them. And I remember picking up the cookie and looking at them and going, oh my gosh, you have your own logo. That's cool. And I was just really impressed with the marketing that's going on in this young family. So I started talking to her dad, and her dad said something about the history of this company, is that this girl wanted to do a lemonade stand when she was 4, and I guess the parents told her that she'd have to wait till she's 5. So she hit 5, and they fired up the lemonade stand. Now, if you want to do a really cool thing today for somebody else, go to Instagram, look up Love's Lemonade, look for the little African-American girl with the yellow graduation cap on and follow that account. When I went in there a couple of days ago, she had 18 followers and maybe a dozen posts. And I thought, not good enough. We got to bump this kid up. And so I went in and signed up to follow her. I'm inviting you to follow her. I'm going to put it on my Facebook page and invite 1,800 people to follow her. And I think we should have some fun building this kid up and getting her a following, because I want her to be independently wealthy by the time she's in the, like, 5th grade. So I was quite impressed with this. Now, here's a 5-year-old kid. And, oh, and by the way, they handed me the two lemonades, and I reached into my wallet to grab some cash, and they said, that'll be $9 for the lemonade for each one, folks. And the cookie, what's that, $18? And the cookie was about $3. That's $21. Now, I had no clue what it was going to cost. I didn't care. I took out $25. I gave it to the little Love. And I said, here you go. Keep the change. And there you go. $25 spent at a lemonade stand. And here I am on the radio telling the world about it. So the point is, it's not the price of the lemonade that's critical. It's the fact that you put a giant smile on the face of a 5-year-old kid who's got her own business at age 5. Now, that's a great story. And I sent her a message. This would now be last week sometime. I sent them a message on the Instagram page telling them about my radio show. and asking them if they would, you know, like to be on it, because I'd love to talk to her about what she's doing. Haven't heard back yet, but I think I will. And I even tried calling them and didn't get an answer. And I don't know if they, I don't know if this is kind of a dead account in their mind because there's not that much going on, or if they just haven't fired it up very much yet. But there are some really cute photos there. And I just had to sing the praises of Love's Lemonade on the Beltline in Atlanta, Georgia, as a great place to go grab something to drink. And it was really good. Now, my friend that I was with as we walked away, she just kind of said, that was the nicest thing you did. And she commented on it a couple of times throughout the day. You know, helping out a five-year-old with their business. I mean, who wouldn't do that? And I just loved every minute of it, and I didn't care what the cost of the drink was. I really, I mean, it was handmade right in front of me, hand-squeezed lemons. They had the blackberry, you know, kicker, and I was on cloud nine. I was having the time of my life. I didn't care what it cost. So anyway, hats off to Love's Lemonade and how you do it as a five-year-old kid in Atlanta, Georgia, and the good things that happen as a result of just trying to do that. Here's another example. We're talking about turning lemons into lemonade. This morning, we have a job, the first day of a two-day job we're doing, that's going to be about five truckloads of stuff hauled away. And when I say a truckload, I mean a 12-foot box truck. Five truckloads of stuff hauled away from a home in Silver Spring, Maryland. And we contracted this, last week or so. And they got the special deal with the 2024 special deal that I'm doing, where they got up to five truckloads of stuff hauled away for $2,024, where it's supposed to be more like $3,500. And that's a great deal. We've sold almost 24 of these. I made 24 of them available. We've probably sold 20 of them now so far. So we're contracted to go clean out this apartment. Not a big deal. And we're estimating it's probably going to be four to five truckloads of stuff. I go over to my buddies at Enterprise Rental Truck, which is where I just came from. And for the first time in about 3 years, they didn't have a truck available this morning. Well, small problem. I've got a pickup truck. I was counting on a rental truck. I've never bothered to call up and reserve one because they always have a bunch there, and I've never had a problem. But all of a sudden, I don't have the big truck, right? Opportunity to turn lemons into lemonade. So what can you do? You head over to the property with the pickup truck. The gentleman that contracted us for his friend to do this job is not there, and his friend who owns the apartment is not there because he's in assisted living, but the door was unlocked. So we go in and start to go to work. We go back to the closets. We take all the clothes out of the closets, throw them in bags, put the bags in the truck. We get a pickup truck load of bags, and I head over to Goodwill, and I donate it and get them a Goodwill receipt. Then I go back. They told me, by the way, at Enterprise this morning that they would have a 12-foot truck coming in that afternoon. So I went back this morning. We loaded up the truck again, this time with a couch and a bunch of bags of trash that my buddy June had been getting together from the kitchen and other places. And we loaded up a second load, and I drove it to the dump and emptied it. And then after that, came back on the way back, called Enterprise to check on the 12-foot truck. And they said, yeah, it's back. It just came in. I went, fabulous, because we need a bigger truck to get a bunch of stuff out of there today. So I am now in it feels like it's brand new. It looks like it's brand new. A 12-foot Enterprise box rental truck that has 22,000 miles on it. And I'm headed back, and now it's downhill because we'll be fine. My point is, if you don't have the big truck, use the little one and make lemonade with it until you get the big truck, which I now have, and it's only 3:20 in the afternoon. So all is well, and nothing has We haven't been slowed down or hurt at all by going over there and using the small truck first. We used what we had. We used what we could. We took a couple of pickup truck loads out. That's called progress. Now I'm headed over with the big truck to do some serious damage, which is going to be a lot of progress. We're going to take a break. I'll be back with you in about a minute here, do a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Alan Cook. We'll be back in a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. This is your host, Alan Cook, live coming to you from the cab of an Enterprise rental truck. A beautiful, this baby looks brand new, but the odometer says it has 22,000 miles on it. A 12-foot box truck that we are headed over to Silver Spring to continue doing a job that we were working on this morning. And I am just having the time of my life in this truck because it's going to be a big addition to what I'm doing. We're talking about turning lemons into lemonade and different ways to do it and different stories from the junk removal business about how to do it. And I've got a bunch that are kind of easy to share. You know, you get jobs all over the country when you do what we do, when you give a refund back, if you sell some of the good stuff that people have, that sets us apart from the other companies out there. And consequently, we get jobs all over the country. We did a job in Chicago. Talk about lemons into lemonade. We did a job in Chicago a couple of years ago. This would have been spring of 2020 when we were into COVID about a month. And I was booked to do a job in Chicago. We're all still trying to get used to the COVID rules. I go to Baltimore. I fly to Detroit. No, I fly to Chicago. To Midway, I guess, is where I went. And that flight was $19, and there were 20 people on the plane. Now, you don't see that very often. This was on Spirit Airlines, too. $19. I go to Chicago. I rent a truck. I go get the stuff done. I come back maybe 2 days later. I'm back in the airport. And back in about, this was probably April or May of 2020, the gates at the airport are completely empty. There's nobody there. It's a very weird, spooky kind of feeling. But I'm there. I got the job done. And this was so new. The whole COVID thing was so new that as I'm sitting there in the gates, there's nobody around me. There's nobody walking anywhere. And it's a really strange feeling. But I'm there. I got the job done. I just need the flight back. And a gentleman comes over and sits down to me. Guy that's, I'm going to guess, is 25. Pretty big guy. Comes over, kind of sits down across the chairs from me. There's now two of us in this gate. And nice guy, has like one backpack with him, if even that. And we're sitting there, and I hear the announcement coming on from a gate next to us where a flight is headed down to Dallas. And the announcement that was made was that if you're headed to Texas and you have COVID-19, and I'm not even sure if you had it, that you had to do this, but if you're getting off of a flight in Texas, you had to quarantine for 14 days, I guess, if you're a Texas resident. I don't remember all the rules. I just remember the feeling crossing my mind, the thought crossing my mind, what are the rules in Maryland? I'm headed back to Baltimore. Do I have to quarantine for 2 weeks after I get there? Because at the time, New York, Illinois, and Florida were the three states on the map that had very strict rules about COVID-19 because of what had happened in those states. And I'm sitting there in the middle of, you know, Illinois. And so I just go, man, I don't know. I don't know what the rules are, what I have to do. Well, about that point, and so my point is there are some lemons popping up in this terminal and in the gate. One of them is, do I have to wait for 14 days before I can do my next junk removal job back in Maryland? Another one was the flight that I was originally on to go back to Baltimore got canceled, obviously, because there weren't a lot of people on. But I was able to book a second flight, get this, same day, nonstop back to Baltimore, $30 on Spirit Airlines. So I had the flight booked, but there's a guy now that's sitting next to me, or across the, I'm sorry, I keep saying next to me, he's across the aisle from me. We're only two of us in the gate, and he sees me on my phone, using my phone. And he says, hey, excuse me, sir, is there any chance I could use your phone? Well, I'm not just going to hand my phone to a stranger, but I did say, is there a number you want me to call? He said, yes, I have to call my grandmother to let her know to come pick me up at the airport instead of the train station. I went, oh, okay. And I said, where's your grandmother? He said, Mississippi. He said, but I have to fly through Texas to get there. I said, oh, you're going to see your grandmother in Mississippi. He says, no, I just got released from prison this morning. And they're flying me back to Mississippi so my grandmother can pick me up instead of putting me on the train. He said, I'm not sure why, but that's what's happening. I need to call my grandma and let her know that I'm coming. I need her to pick me up at the airport, not at the train station. Now, you think I'm dealing with lemons? Here's a guy who that morning was released from prison, who simply needs to make a, who doesn't have a phone, doesn't really have, you know, much luggage or anything with him, basically has the bare essentials, just got released from prison, is now going to go back into civilian life, and oh, by the way, COVID rules now, and he needs to let his grandmother know that she needs to pick him up at the airport in Mississippi later that day instead of at the train station. We dial the phone number. I hand him the phone. He talks to his grandma. His grandma, you know, is with him 5 or 7 minutes or something on the phone and comes back, and they have a great conversation. He says, thank you very much, and he hands me the phone back. Well, I get a call on that on my phone about 10 minutes later. I get another call from the grandma down in Mississippi thanking me for letting her grandson use my phone so they could make those arrangements. Man, was I glad that I let him use the phone, right? I mean, you're sitting there looking around for another human being to be in the gates at Midway in Chicago. One guy comes up who's a stocky, well-built 25-year-old kid. And at that point, you're basically letting him use the phone so it to try to help him make, you know, turn lemons into lemonade. A welcome home with his grandma. 5 minutes later, my phone rings again. It's a 312 area code. I know that that's Chicago. It turns out that now the parole officer is calling me to thank me for letting this kid use my phone so that he could get the word out that he's coming, you know, by airplane instead of by train. Now, how do you think I felt again? Fabulous. And here I am chatting with parole officers, with grandmothers in Mississippi, all in an effort to just try and help a kid get a good start on phase two of his life is basically what it comes down to. Hats off to him. And I guess my analogy is there are times where you just let people use your phone and don't worry about it. And pretty soon parole officers are calling you and thanking you for doing it. That's called lemons into lemonade. We did a job one time, and I love these. I love these jobs where people say, either you're not here by yourself, are you? Or they say, you know what, this we just can't get this fridge out of the basement. I love those jobs. Occasionally we'll have people say, another company was here. We wanted them to remove this fridge. They couldn't do it. They couldn't get it out. Can you guys do it? I love that scenario because the fact is if the fridge went in the doorway to get into the basement, it's going to travel the other direction just fine. The fridge doesn't know which direction it's going. So if it got in there, there's got to be a way to get it out. And I love those jobs where we do that and it works and everybody's happy. We had a job once where a lady called us and said, hey, I've got a lawnmower over here. Can you come pick it up? And I'm thinking, no big deal. But I didn't ask a lot of questions. And that was a mistake. Because I took a pickup truck over there thinking I'm going to pick up a mower. It was a riding lawnmower. And a riding lawnmower with flat tires sitting in the backyard. The good news was that the backyard had access. And because I had a pickup truck, I could back up into the backyard close to where the tractor was. Now, I'm just going to describe that as a... That is a pretty much a bad scenario for a lemonade sales guy. I mean, that's lemons. It's a riding lawnmower. It's got flat tires. The rims of the tires have kind of sunk down into the wet dirt or slash mud. And you're there by yourself to haul it away. Well, let me just tell you the steps. Let me tell you how you turn those lemons into lemonade. Point number one is to get some air in the tires so that you can then move that tractor and roll it around. It's too heavy to drag, and you need air in those tires. I have in my truck a little air compressor. Plug it into the cigarette lighter. So I go around to each of the four tires. I pump them up with air automatically. The tractor now can be moved. I put it in neutral. I take it kind of across the backyard, not very far, and I notice there's a kind of an incline that goes up to where the deck is, a gradual incline. Now, what you need to do at this point is narrow the gap between the wheels of the tractor being put up on the bed of your truck, the tailgate of your truck. You're trying to narrow that gap so that the height that you have to maneuver with is as small as possible. And what that means is you want to get the tailgate as close to the ground as possible. So I kind of stepped back and looked at this situation. I thought, okay, let me see what we got to work with. And thank heavens there's a little incline here rising up from the back, from the main part of the backyard. So I pumped up the air on the tires, put it in neutral. It now will roll. And I basically back it up across the main part of the backyard, and I kind of push it backwards, starting to go up this incline. And as I do, I think I had a little brick or something, and maybe I was dragging it from behind. I can't remember. Somehow I was able to kind of push it a foot or two, and then lock it in so that it wouldn't roll back down. And then I'd push it another 6 inches or a foot and lock it in or put something in front of the wheels so it wouldn't roll back down. Well, I did that, and I moved it. I backed it up the hill, maybe a distance of 5 to 7 feet, something like that. But what I now have is I now have the tractor up on a hill that is, and the tractor is now about half as tall as it needs to be to just roll right into the truck. In other words,
I've eliminated the need to lift it half of the distance by simply pushing it back up a hill. When you load a riding lawnmower into a pickup truck, you basically take it and get the front wheels, which is the lighter end, up onto the tailgate, and then you pick up the back end and roll it on in. I'm doing the show real quick. Load up whatever you want. I got your drinks in the front. Those of you that listened to last week's show, that is June, one of my buddies who comes out and helps me do this stuff. He's going to load this truck up while I sit here in the air-conditioned cab and do the show. That's called a really good guy. But anyway, the tractor is now backed up about halfway up this little hill, which elevates its height. And when you load one of these on, what you're trying to do is get the front wheels, the front two wheels, up onto the tailgate of the truck. You lower the tailgate down. You want to get the front two wheels up. Well, that now is not so tough because the tractor has been elevated by pushing it up the hill about maybe 2 feet, 2.5 feet, something like that. So now all I got to do is raise these front wheels maybe a foot high instead of what would have been 3 or 4 feet high. And the tractor is stationary on this hill. So I did. I picked up the front wheels and set them up on the tailgate of the truck. Now the battle's pretty much over because the truck is gonna lift half the tractor for you. You just have to lift the other half. And all you have to do now is go to the back of the tractor, kind of pick it up from the bottom, and you're going to raise it about a foot, but the wheels, the front wheels that are inflated are already on the back of the truck. So as you pick it up, it's naturally going to start to roll forward, which is exactly what happened. So instead of having to pick something up 4 feet to get it into a truck, you now have to pick it up 1 foot and gently nudge it with your thighs or something, and that thing will load. Well, maybe, I don't know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes after I arrived, the riding lawnmower is sitting inside the back of my pickup truck, and I did it by myself. That's called turning lemons into lemonade. And then I drove it to the scrap metal yard, got paid for the scrap metal. It's easy to get it off. Just roll that baby off and it falls, you know, gravity's your friend and it falls down and whammo, you make a few bucks. But the point is there's a general consensus out there, a general attitude that kind of says, this is going to be harder than you think, or you can't do this by yourself, or how are you going to get this done? Or are you nuts? This isn't going to work. Or how come you don't have a bigger truck and three more guys? Or, right? It's probably just human nature from people who don't do this all the time, who are absolutely convinced based on what they know and what they see that something's not going to work and that one guy can't do this. That is exactly the kind of challenge that I love. And so I have over and over and over again, and you can go to Groupon.com, look up 1-800-JUNK-REFUND and read the 500 or so reviews that are there. And they will frequently mention my name, Alan, and they will use the word amazed or amazing or some form of that word, because that's the number one word that I get from people when they just can't believe that something worked. I love the feeling of accomplishment when you take a situation that looks like lemons and you just have the faith and the determination to try to make it work out. And I love the feeling you get when it does work out and all of a sudden you're theoretically, metaphorically sipping fresh made lemonade. And I do it over and over and over again in this business. And it's one of the big thrills of being an entrepreneur is that you just have the grit to stay in there until you're drinking the lemonade. But anyway, we're making the point to turn lemons into lemonade. And I'm telling you different ways that it's been done and how it gets done and things that I've observed. And it's a great story. There's lots of great stories out there. We'll come back and share some more with you. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on bbsradio.com. We'll be back in a few moments. I'm your host, Alan Cook.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. This is your host, Alan Cook. We are in the middle of a job in Silver Spring, Maryland, where my buddy June, one of our employees, is loading up a 12-foot box truck while I sit here in the cab and talk about how to turn lemons into lemonade. There are lots of stories about how to do this, and just the determination to hang in there and get something done and refuse to be beaten and all that kind of stuff. Lots of great stories about how to do it and people who have done it. They did a study, I think it was University of Minnesota, I think, about entrepreneurs and what made various entrepreneurs really successful. What's the number one trait or quality of an entrepreneur that led to their success? And the lady who did the study said that it was grit, that that's the main ingredient in being a successful entrepreneur. You just don't quit. You keep moving forward despite the odds. And it's an amazing thing. I'll tell you, there are people who deserve a shout out just out of respect for privacy, you know, turning lemons into lemonade. There's a lady on Facebook, a friend of mine, who is actually the daughter of one of my good friends, who was diagnosed with cancer many years ago at a young age. I'm talking in her 20s. She might be in her low 30s right now. Some of the best Facebook posts that I see are her posts showing what she's doing in her life and how she basically refuses to quit. Now, you think about that, about the trade-off of turning lemons into lemonade, and you never know when you're going to get dealt some lemons. I mean, you just don't know. There's no way to tell. There's no way to predict it. It just happens. I got a text message Sunday from a good buddy in high school telling me that one of our friends in high school, a former stud basketball player who is probably 65-ish, 66, somewhere in there, just had a heart attack and is on life support, and it doesn't look good. And they wanted just a few of his good friends to know, without making a big deal and without broadcasting it. They just wanted people to know. And I appreciated them reaching out to me, and I shared it with another buddy just so that he knows. You never know what's coming and what's around the corner. You just take, what you get, and you deal with it as best you can. I mentioned this friend down in Atlanta. A shout out to her. Her name's Tina. And this is a wonderful story of somebody who, just by virtue of the life that she has and the situation that she has been in, has taken the cards that she's been dealt and has played them perfectly. And I'm telling you, in her life, she has not been dealt all the kings, queens, and aces. But she's played the hands that she's been dealt to the very best of her ability and has created a remarkable life for herself an incredible personality and just a tremendous story. It's a unique thing too. There's sometimes, you know, I'll share one story that happened recently with some friends of mine. One friend has another friend come over, and as is customary, the second friend will stay at the first friend's house. Well, sometimes friend number two kind of makes themselves at home a little too much, and all of a sudden friend number one doesn't have much food left in the refrigerator. You know, that's called lemons, right? You go out and you buy the food, you stock the fridge, you have some guests come over, they thank you for letting you stay, they take off, and oh, by the way, your fridge is empty, but they don't even tell you that, right? That's called lemons, right? So then other friends hear about it and step in and say, look, shoot me your shopping list. I'll go hit, you know, let's say Trader Joe's or something. I'll go hit them and I'll replenish your fridge. That's turning lemons into lemonade. And that's the kind of stuff that makes life so sweet, no pun intended. But those kind of things where crap gets thrown at you and you turn around and turn it into something magical. And everybody gets it, you know, at some point. Here's one that's more of a financial twist. I use AT&T for my cell phones. I've got a couple of tablets and a couple of phones. My monthly phone bill can run about $300 a month. And maybe I'm an idiot for continuing to use AT&T and have it be $300 a month, but that's what I've been with for a long time, and I like my iPhones, and you know that's what I've done. Well, one of the things that happens in my business, you get busy, you're traveling around the country, you're doing junk removal jobs, and I'm most of the time not the best at, you know, lining up on my calendar when various bills need to be paid. And so I get the notice that, hey, your AT&T bill is now ready. And I go, okay, I need to take care of that. And a few days later, I get a notice that says, hey, your bill's past due. And I go, oh, nuts, I forgot. I need to take care of that. And a few days later, you get calls from an 800 number saying, this is AT&T, you're just calling about your bill. And I go, oh, yep, I gotta take care of that. And then you go to Dallas to do a job, and you put in the address of Mrs. Jones to go, you know, haul away some stuff out of her garage. And all of a sudden you put in the address and the phone's not working. And you go, huh, I wonder why that is. Well, because you didn't pay the phone bill, idiot. Right? I can't tell you how many times I've had that happen. And it's particularly frustrating when I'm, you know, somewhere out in the country doing a job and all of a sudden my phone gets cut off because yours truly just didn't get the bill paid. So they say, well, sign up for automatic billing. And also, I'm probably too stupid to do that. I don't know. But anyway, my point is I decided to turn this around last month. And if you pay about $300 a month for a phone bill, you need to pay about $10 a day. And so I brought the phone bill current, and then I created a little spreadsheet for my phone. And every day this last month, I've gone in and just paid $10 towards the phone. And I would build up a $20 credit and a $30 credit, a $40 credit, a $50 credit. And pretty soon the phone bill comes in, and let's say it's $300, but the amount that's owed is only $110 or whatever, right? It is such a rewarding feeling to know that because you're being proactive every day, not only are you not falling behind, but you're ahead of the game. You've got a credit on your bill, not a, you know, past due notice in red ink or whatever it is. That little habit of proactively trying to stay ahead of the game takes all the fear, concern, worry about, uh-oh, my phone's dead. I can't retrieve my voicemails. Visual voicemail is not available anymore. You know, all these warnings that you get are stuff when your phone's not working anymore, it's been cut off. You get around that by flipping it, by being proactive and paying $10 a day. And when you pay $10 a day, that's kind of a small bite to bite off of your phone bill. That's not hard to swallow. You just go in to pay $10 and you pay it. Done, right? Easy, not a big deal. And You do that day after day after day, and you build up a credit really fast. And all of a sudden, instead of your phone bill being perceived by you as, you know, rotten lemons, you're making lemonade out of it. And you're drinking AT&T lemonade every day because you're ahead of the game. That's what you want. Now, I know that's so simple, but the mental, you know, relief that you get, the confidence that you get, what that little payment does every day for your psyche is wonderful, because it, you basically are solving a problem and you're basically preventing a problem from ever surfacing. Whereas in the past, a big problem surfaced and now you got to come up with a big solution in order to solve it. That's a much, that new way that I've done it is so much better, so much easier, so much safer. It just works. That's just the way to do it. And it's smart, and it builds up your credit with AT&T, you know, et cetera. I got a brother who is one, I got three brothers, but they're all wonderful. One of them particularly turned lemons into lemonade when a couple of his boys, his twin boys, who were out doing missionary work for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Have you ever seen the Broadway play, The Book of Mormon? His two kids were doing that same missionary work, right? Both of them in South America. This is back in COVID. Various rules come into play in various countries, and these kids are released from their missions and sent back home a little bit early. Well, now all the COVID rules come into play, and the socialization of society is basically gone, and people are not hiring a lot of people because everybody's not sure what's going to happen, and the budgets are getting cut and all this kind of stuff. You know, you remember it was 4 years ago when all this stuff was going on. Well, my wonderful, skilled, smart brother has his boys come home a little early, and I think into his mind popped the words free labor. And because there was a lot of uncertainty during COVID, prices for renting equipment and getting labor to help you and, you know, materials, things were not selling as well as they normally did. And so people put things on sale. And my brother struck when that situation happened. He put his boys to work, and he turned his front yard, which was basically just like a little hillside of dirt, so to speak, put in a fabulous patio there. Not only did he do that, he put in a retaining wall to support the patio. He put in a bunch of tires that grandkids can climb up a hill on. He put in wooden steps going down the side of his house. He put in sod and brought grass in for his hillside. He put in a zip line down at the bottom of it. He turned his home, the outside of his home, he turned it into a playground for his kids and grandkids during COVID, when he had the availability of his sons to help give him some extra labor. That's a brilliant move. And one of our family friends, who was a top economist at the University of Chicago and then was an economics professor at Brigham Young University for many years, a family member, he came over and he saw what my brother had done during COVID. And he said, you know, Ron, he said, I don't know what you spent getting all of this done, but it's easily going to come back to you when you sell this property. In other words, it was a really smart investment. Now, there's the situation of lemons facing you in the face. Son's coming home. What do you do with them? Job market's tight. School is being run kind of funny. And yet my brother says, hey, there's room for improvement around here. Let's do something and take advantage of this, you know, these low prices and whatever. And he did. And hats off to him for what he's created. It is a spectacular story of what he's done. And it is now a hotbed for our family and I have 10 brothers and sisters and 56 nieces and nephews. You know, there's always somebody getting married or somebody going away to school or somebody coming back from school or whatever. There's always a party to be held. And my really smart, talented, entrepreneurial brother now has a fabulous place to host all of those things. And that's just pretty cool. That's a great story. So there you go. There's a few examples of turning lemons into lemonade. And I got to put in one more plug. Yesterday at about 9:30 in the morning, I had a friend contact me who was struggling kind of mentally with some stuff, a little bit of self-guilt kind of stuff, and was kind of concerned about how they stood before God, is a good way to say it. And sometimes there's this opinion that you need to go to a priest or a bishop or a pastor to find out if you're okay in God's eyes. And I've been taught a little bit different, that you can approach him directly, meaning God. You can approach him directly and find out how you're doing, and you can talk with him through prayer. So yesterday morning about 9:30, I just got this impression in my mind to send a text to this friend and explain to them how you pray. It's really kind of simple, and I did it in five steps. Quick little text. I said, number one, you don't have to do this, but if you kneel down on your knees to say a prayer, that's always a good move, because That's a position of humility, and I think God likes humility. I say, you don't have to do that, but that's something you could do. Second, you address him as your Father in heaven, which we believe he really is, by, you know, saying, our Heavenly Father or my Heavenly Father. That's how you start your prayer. Third, you thank him for something that you appreciate. You know, I'm grateful for my kids. I'm grateful for my health, whatever it might be, something that you're grateful for. Fourth, ask him for something that is on your mind that you need. You know, I want to know how I stand in your eyes. Am I okay? This last thing that happened last weekend, did I really screw up? Can you guide me? Can you let me know if I'm all right? Is there something major I need to do to turn something around? In other words, just ask him for whatever it is you're looking for or something that you need. And fifth, again, as I've been taught, you close by saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We are Christians, and we believe that and pretty much everything we do from a religious standpoint turns back to Christ in some way. So out of respect and using him as an example, we close in his name. Well, I sent that text message off basically teaching somebody how to pray and invited them to approach God directly. You don't need a middleman. Just approach God directly and ask him how you are in his sight, and he'll let you know, right? He'll let you know through thoughts in your mind and feelings that come in your heart. And at about 11:30 yesterday morning, I got a text message back that said, this is so awesome. And then a little thank you message. Now, those of you, and that's all of us, that use cell phones, you know that when someone's excited or grateful, they'll send you a little message and they'll use an exclamation point. I've had times in the dating world where you're communicating with somebody that you think's really cool, and you do something nice for them, and they send back a message. I remember one time I counted the number of exclamation points they used in their response. I'm trying to gauge, is somebody really excited about me or about what I just did, etc. I think the most I've ever seen for a message that I got was about five. And I think in the last month or two, a friend sent me a text message and there were 8 exclamation points at the end of, let's say, the words thank you, whatever it might have been. Well, after sharing with this other friend the idea about how to pray, I got a thank you message that came back with 13 exclamation points after the word you. Now, does that tell you something? Yeah, it tells you somebody's really grateful and appreciative of what you did. So if you want to help somebody else turn lemons into lemonade, you might get a bunch of exclamation points shot back at you. And if you ever get a message of any type where somebody uses more than 13 exclamation points at the end of one particular word, you call me, email me, junkrefund@gmail.com, because I want to hear your story. 13's a record that it's been the record for my life, and it just happened yesterday, all because I tried to help somebody mentally turn some lemons in their mind into lemonade, and it worked. So go get some lemonade, and if you're down in Atlanta, go to the Beltline and buy a glass of lemonade from Love, who is the 5-year-old little black girl who's got her graduation cap on and her parents there, and get the lemonade and just remember that I told you to go and you'll thank me later, because that's a kid at the age of 5 who has her own lemonade business, and follow her on Instagram, Loves Lemonade. You'll see it. And she's just adorable, and I'm thrilled. I'm trying to get her, you know, financially independent by the time she's in 4th grade. So anyway, thanks for listening to the show. There's a little bit about how to turn lemons into lemonade and the joy that comes from doing it. Thanks again to Don and Doug Newsome, founders of BBS Radio, for the great job they do. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show. We'll be back at 3 o'clock next Thursday with more stories for you and more truths and ideas about the junk removal business and how to do it at 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Thursday at 3 o'clock Eastern.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.